Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I am your host, Martise, and I just want to welcome you to another episode of Unmute. If you have not checked out our last episode dealing with individual growth and development, please go and do so. Today we're going to be talking about singles. And God brought this to my attention to talk about it and make sure that I cover this topic because a lot of people that are single hear the word, this is your time of waiting, you know, prepare yourself for your spouse. But there's scripture that go with that, and there's also 9 steps that I'm going to give you to go with your time of waiting. Now, when God gave me this topic, He didn't tell me to just talk about what I know as far as singles. He actually just gave it to me and told me, like, to write it down because this is going to be something that I covered. So I did so. And I had it written down for about a month. And me and my wife went to a conference, and there were different speakers, and a couple came up and they spoke about their book, which is called You Said I Do, Now You Say I Don't. And to all the single people, they gave a printout of these 9 steps, but they talked about it somewhat, but they really didn't go into detail about it. And at that time, I wasn't thinking about the topic that God gave me. And they also began to talk about marriage and things like that. So me and my wife was engaged into that conversation and that topic. We did buy the book, but we have not read it yet. So everything that I'm giving y'all on this topic of singles is strictly from God through me. Because when we were leaving after they were done, somebody left their paper on their seat. And God told me to go back and take a picture of it. And I did. But I never went over the 9 steps until now when He's releasing me to talk about these things. So just bear with me as we go through these 9 steps. And I'm going to read to you what it say. And there's scripture that goes along with it. And God is just going to use me to break the scripture down with you guys. So they have as number one, the first step is daily commune with God and seek His desire for your life. And that's Matthew 6:33, which says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So what I get from that is, in your time of waiting, don't look at or try to focus on where your spouse is. Am I going to meet them at church? Am I going to meet them at the park? Am I going to meet them at work? Just focus on what God has you doing. Seek God, seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Just continue to learn to please God, trying to please God. And as the scripture says in Proverbs 3:5-6, that He will guide your steps. He will put you on the right path. So as you're doing what God wants you to do, He's going to continue to line everything up for you. See God and His righteousness, and all these things which are the things that you want, it will be added to you. Make sure you have good intentions though, because some people, they do the right thing, or they're trying to be righteous in God's name, but it's for their gain. It's not to develop what a good Christian aspect look like, or, you know, what family really looks like. They're just trying to get, a lot of people do things for money, just to put it plain and simple. They want to do righteousness and do good for money or fame or whatever. And these are some of the same people that you see, once they make it, they fall off or they switch sides because they did what they needed to do for God, which is the right thing to do, but they had their own intentions. So continue, but just go by the scripture. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Matthew 6:33. The second step was to develop your God-given talents, which is Matthew 25:15, which says, "And to one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. So I know this story, basically, of this man. And basically what it was is he was a boss. He had workers or investors, basically, people up under him. And he gave one, we're going to use money, he gave one $5,000, he gave another $2,000, and he gave another $1,000. And it says, we're talking about developing your God-given talents. So the one that he gave $5,000 to, he used his talent as an investor, as somebody who knows where to put things to know how to get a return. And he gave another $2,000, and he flipped that $2,000, he made $4,000. And to one person, he gave $1,000 because he knew that he hadn't yet tapped into what it is that he's capable of. And this person that had the $1,000, instead of trying to go and at least risk and make more money, he took the money that his boss gave him and he hid it so that when he came back, he can say, here, I still have this. That wasn't his intentions. Like, I believe that even if he lost the whole $1,000, there was still something to be learned there, that you took the chance to at least try. And that's what the boss was mad about in this story, that he didn't at least try. He just took the money, hid it, where everybody else, they took it, they used their God-given talents to invest it, and then they made double the money back. They were the ones that were probably seeking God and his righteousness, and then the money was added to whatever they had. So just remember, develop your God-given talents, whether it's music, poetry, rapping, singing, dancing, whatever it is, continue to develop it, continue to grow on it, continue to learn how to invest in what it is that God have given you. I have a talent of rapping. I don't call it a gift because it was something that I taught and I sat down and, you know, God began to show me, but amongst other people, you know, it was a talent. But I learned how to perfect it in a way that, okay, what comes to your head when you hear this beat? Okay, now go off of that, and then you begin to tell a story. But you have to develop these things, where there are some people, or we hear it all the time, people, a brand new rapper come out and they saying a whole bunch of nothing because they probably had the right connections, but their talent was never developed. That's why some of these people just fall off. But when you have a God-given talent and you're perfecting it in God's name, you're gonna succeed. You may not succeed monetarily, but spiritually, if you're doing it for God and, you know, that's 100% your focus, and, you know, for yourself, for your singleness, like for you to continue to develop this, maybe it's something that you may teach one day. Just continue to develop that. Number three was serve God with gladness. Do whatever you find your hands to do. That's in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, which states, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Whatever you find your hands to do. And this podcast that you're listening to right now is something that God gave me, and with the help of me sharing my ideas with people, they were resources, but I had to find, you know, my hands had to do the work. As far as Unmute being a nonprofit, someone actually invested the money into me. They said, I'm going to give this to you for you to go and do Unmute. But I had to take the money. I could have went and bought a pair of shoes or outfit or, you know, a bag for my wife or anything. But I knew what it was for, and I wasn't going to waste it. I wasn't going to go to my grave with Unmute just being an idea. So I went and I got it registered. Another person that I used to talk to about developing Unmute, they said, well, if you want to do a podcast, I'm going to help you into trying to figure out how you can do this. and they ran across an app and everything, and they gave me the information. They sent it to me. Now, I could have just let it sit there or said, oh, this app seems difficult, or this app doesn't seem like it's for me, and I could have just sat on it. But I put my hands to work, figured out everything that goes on with the app, and stepped out on faith, because I didn't want this podcast and the things that we talk about and the things that we're going to talk about to go to the grave with me. Because I heard one of the richest places in the world is the graveyard, where people go to, or people pass away with ideas and inventions that they never started, they never got off the ground, they never even, you know, told anyone. It was just things that they kept to themselves. So whatever you find your hands to do, whatever idea that you believe is gonna help others and help people, do it. Yes, you have to get your hands dirty, but do it. And if God's will, probably be one of the biggest things in the world. I remember when I found out about Chipotle. I liked it, but I did not know, like, Chipotle, I found out while I was living in Ohio. But Chipotle is everywhere, but it just seemed like it just started springing up out of nowhere. But somebody had an idea, said, yeah, they got Taco Bell and they got other little places where you can go get burritos and bowls and things like that. But they, whatever it is about them, you can get steak, you can get beef, you can get chicken. Whatever it is about Chipotle, they put their hands to work. They did it. They made their own thing a little bit different, but it works. Now Chipotle is everywhere. So once again, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going, because we all going one day. Step number four is, don't pollute your vessel. That's Romans 12 and 1. Now with don't pollute your vessel, well, let's read it first. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now with don't pollute your vessels, there is so many things that we can pollute our vessels with, whether it's fornication, drinking, entertainment, you name it. We can pollute our vessels. Some people, they listen to, or they watch movies. And this is a real story. I remember this just came to me. A man said on Force 48, he said he was watching Family Guy, and I think it was the dog shot the kid or something like that. It was something to that sort. And he said when he was thinking about a homeless man that he walked past earlier, he thought, like, huh, I'm gonna do that to him. So when the next time he walked past him, he killed him. And it's like, what kind of ignorance? But it's because when you pollute yourself with things for so long and you just engage in like nonsense, this stuff begins to build up inside of you. It's a spirit that begins to attach itself to you, where the dumbest things seem smart or seem good to you at that moment, or it seems like something that you would want to try, and you pollute yourself, and now you're spending the rest of your life in jail from watching a cartoon. Or some people, they watch movies, they watch certain TV shows and about a drug dealer or something like that, and they begin to think that I can do that. Oh yeah, I see where he got caught at. I'm not gonna make that same mistake. And then they begin to take on these personas of these people, because even though you know it's not right and you don't have that spirit of God in you, you know, the Holy Spirit in you to pick through and go through and tell you like this is not right, you know, to have that discernment, basically what it is, to even entertain these type of things. But then you also let these things control your mind. It's just like music. Music can be hypnotizing. You hear your favorite singer or your favorite rapper talking about the things they do or want to do or going to do, and you begin to, I want to do that too. And then you begin to take on these personas of these people because you're letting that influence through your ears pollute you. Like, music is so powerful because it's one of the only things, I heard a preacher say, it's one of the only things that was in heaven first, then came to earth. Everything that's on earth was made on earth. Music was one of the one things that was in heaven and came to earth. And that's why it's so powerful, because it's spiritual. So you have people that fornicate, and you could be a nice person, you could be good, you can, you know, not let things make you jealous or anything like that, but then you begin to fornicate and sleep with people. And what you don't understand is you're exchanging soul ties. That person is giving you a part of them, and you're giving them a part of you, because that's one thing that is supposed to happen in between a man and a wife, you know. And that way you guys began to build together as time go on. You began to understand one another, because you began to, in marriage, you began to continually sleep, you know, not sleep with each other, but you continually to make love with one another, because it's something that you're supposed to do in marriage. You're supposed to exchange those soul ties in marriage, because that's what a marriage is. It's a bond, it's a building of each other. But when you're not married and you're with this person and y'all together for just a couple months, and then you're with the next person, y'all together for a year, and then you're with the next person and it's 6 months, you're constantly exchanging soul ties with these different peoples. And now, if you wasn't a jealous person, somebody that you laid with was a jealous person, now that is on you. You know, you wasn't a drinker or a smoker, but this person and their influence began to pollute your vessel, and you know, you began to take on these things of these different people that God never intended for you to do. So don't pollute your vessel. It's the be careful and watch the things that you entertain and the people that you entertain, because if you're not and you don't have discernment, it will pollute you, and some people lose their identity in that. Number 5 is, wait on God for Boaz. Don't settle for Bozo, which is Psalms 27 and 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's it. Like, that's all we can do. I mean, and that's even for married people, because, you know, to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart. I mean, yeah, when you're single, and of course, you know, you get antsy or, you know, like, aggravated, and you just want this process to hurry up. But like it says, just wait on the Lord, because you could be looking for somebody and you could be ready, but they might not be ready yet. They may be walking something out. They may be taking classes on how you're supposed to treat your wife. You know, maybe they didn't grow up with good examples of men in their life. So they're in groups and things like that to teach a man. Make sure you open her door. Make sure you open her car door. Make sure, you know, you carry her bags. Make sure you pull out her chair. Make sure you do these things on how to be a good man. Or maybe they're trying to get a business started. Therefore, when they say, when I meet my wife, we gonna have this business. She won't have to work if she don't want to. And we gonna be able to take trips to do this, that, and the third. And God may have you waiting because he have your husband, your Boaz, doing something else to prepare, so that when you come together, you just continue to seek first the kingdom of God and developing your talents and doing what you find your hands to do, you know, not polluting your vessels. So just wait on the Lord. I mean, even for married people, we have to learn to wait on the Lord, because sometimes we can get together and of course, like, I know I wasn't done. I know God wasn't done working with me. But my wife continued to wait. She continued to pray for me as God began to deal with me. I had to do the same thing for her. I know others, they have to wait on their spouse. And then once they get their spouse, they still have to pray for them and cover them. So the best thing you can do is just do these things and continue to wait on the Lord. He knows what you need. And he knows what you want. And some people have to get comfortable with the fact that God may not have marriage in sight for you. He may have things so big for you that you don't even understand. And you focused on marriage instead of what he has for you. Like, I have to say it. I have to say it because a lot of people give singles so much hope that they're going to get married one day. But I know everybody doesn't get married. There's people in the Bible that wasn't married. There's people in the Bible that wasn't married, but they were sleeping around. And Jesus wasn't here to condemn anybody. He was here to correct people, you know, forgive them. Just like the woman that was caught in the adulterous act. She was sleeping with somebody. They was ready to stone her. And all he said was, "He who has no sin, go ahead and cast the first stone." And he began to write in the dirt. And everybody began to drop their rocks and walk away. And Jesus wasn't paying attention to that. He ended up looking up and he like, "Where did your accusers go?" She said, they're gone. And he said, "Well, I'm not going to stone you either. You know, go and sin no more." That's what we have to do in this time of waiting. Continue to be strong. Continue to be strengthened. Do what it is that God has for us to do as we wait. Whether we're getting married or not. Like, I know it's hard and it's probably easy for somebody that's married to say, "Oh yeah, wait," you know, and that they may not be getting, like, somebody else may not be getting married because they married. It's not easy, and I understand why people don't just tell people that, but I can do that because I'm on a podcast, and I mean, I can just tell the truth. I can tell the truth, and some people may get offended, but if it's helping, then I'm cool. If it's not, then I hope that you receive it in a good manner, in a good way. Because I don't mean to be rude about it. I just want to tell the truth. Number 6 is manage your money well. Don't bring a load of bills to the marriage table, which is Luke 14:28. Luke 14:28 says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" Man, listen, manage your money well. Don't bring a load of bills to the table. That was something that I wish I was told when I was single before I got married, because I had known my wife before I started college, and I started college, and of course she was in college, and we got married, and I wanted her to finish, so I didn't finish. You know, like, I tried to go back, but I had kind of missed the registration date, and then I'm like, "You know what, I'm just gonna work, babe, you go ahead and finish school, you know, and yeah, we gonna be good." Now I have student loans that I have to pay back. My wife got student loans. You know, like, we knew that it would come, but when they wasn't asking for the student loan money, we were out shopping and, you know, getting cars and doing whatever it is that we wanted to do, not managing our money well. Now that they're coming back around and they want to collect on their money, now we're at the point of, okay, we have to manage. And I'm more of the one of our, like, the head of our finance. I'm the head of the household and I'm the head of the finances. My wife, if she has it, she gonna spend it. Like, she know when her student loans is due, so she'll put that to the side. But if she have it, she gonna spend it. But it's better to learn now how to manage your money. And one thing that we have to do, we take care of our bills, we take care of our tithes, then we put money up for us. But we have to manage our money well. Don't bring a load of bills to the table. You know, this is something that you have to talk about with people before you get married, that, okay, yeah, we're in a serious relationship, we're talking about marriage, look, I need you to know that I got this cable bill in my name, and I got this T-Mobile bill in my name, and yeah, like, that's pretty much in that. I don't know if it went to the collection agency or it has went to the collection agency, but it's something that you need, like, to let people know before you jump the broom, and then you're like, oh yeah, by the way, honey, on our honeymoon, yeah, you know I got like $10,000 in debt, right? Because that don't just weighs on you, it weighs on your spouse also. So manage your money well, learn to handle your finances now, so that when the time comes, you may have a couple bills that need to be paid, but it's not much. Or you may have something that you're paying on, but at least they know. If a man had these same steps and a woman had these same steps, when they come together and they get married, they already have the understanding on managing money. Now they can put their money together and it's more, and they learn to manage it together and maybe even in a greater way. So please, once again, I'm going to read Luke 14:28. For which of you, intending to build something, does not sit down first and count the cost? Because you got to know how much it's going to take. You got to know what it is that you're going towards, whether he has enough to finish it. You can't just quit, start paying off something and or having, you know, saying like, oh yeah, I got a job, so let's go get this apartment, and then now your job don't even pay enough to cover the apartment, like, or the house, whatever it is that you have to count the cost. Man, that was good right there. Number 7, watch your mouth, speak life over your situation. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So, if you love death, you're going to eat its fruit. Everything around you is just going to die and wither up, and that's going to be what's around you. You know, not it may not always be a physical or a natural death. It could be spiritually. But if you love life, that's what's going to be around you. You know, people say, oh, they killing me. Oh, they getting on my nerves. Watch what you say, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And you begin to speak those things and your mind begins to receive it and your body begins to react on those things. And now little situations are big situations because things are stressing you out. And stress kills people. Like, stress kills. Whether people really know it or not, a lot of people are dying, and people say, oh, it's of natural causes, but sometimes if you're dying at a young age, like, and you're not out there in the streets, it was just natural causes, it's probably stress. It's probably things that you've spoken out of your mouth, or somebody else then spoke it to you, and you didn't rebuke that thing. You didn't denounce that thing. And we have to learn, for while we're single, to control our mouth, because we'll get married and we'll get to saying, I hate you, I wish you was dead, and this, that, and the third, because of a now situation. I hate you right now, I wish you was dead right now, not knowing that tomorrow, when everything is good and you loving all on them, and oh, they the best person in the world, and the next day they gone. Because 2 days ago, you hated them and you wished they was dead. And that thing came along and it came to happen. Now, you regret, you know, what you was arguing about. Or you don't even remember what you was arguing about. You just know it was a situation that had you mad in a moment. And now you're ready to throw in the towel. Now you want to get divorced. Or now you want to break up. Or now, you know, this partnership and business relationship is not working because you didn't speak life into that thing. You didn't say that this is a now situation, but you know what, we gonna make it. You know what, we gonna overcome. You know what, like, God gonna pull us through this. We need to pray something Speak life for better into the relationships and the things that you're in. Please, people. Number 8, study God's word and live by it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know it's a lot of preachers who preach, but I wonder if they remember that when they out there in the pulpits and things like that, because some people just not rightly dividing the word of truth. Some people out there telling half-truths and whole lies, you know, just out here doing whatever in the name of Jesus. Like, that ain't how God roll, you know, like, because when they get to heaven, like, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Like, I didn't know you, because you wasn't studying God's word. You wasn't living by it. You wasn't rightly dividing the truth. And that's what I try to tell people that I meet. It's like, you can read the Bible all you want, but did you study it? Because if you studied it, you wouldn't be feeling like this, or you wouldn't be living like this. You know, like, did you really live by the things that you read? When you said you believed, did you really believe it, or was it, did it just sound good for the moment? Because you have to diligently present yourself approved to God. It don't matter what Martise thinks. It doesn't matter what the Covington family thinks. God is the one who's going to judge. And please stop saying people use that only God can judge me, because that is not true. Like, that is not true. Yes, we can't judge you physically off of appearance. Oh, you got tattoos and you got, you know, these implants of devil horns and stuff like that. You're a monster. No, people grow up, they make mistakes. But God knows that person's spirit. And if you stay around that person long enough, you'll know, oh yeah, they got them implants of devil horns and they tatted up. But it was a mistake that they made in their past. Now all they want to do is study God's word and live it by it. They want to be approved by God. You know, they want to do the work of God and not be ashamed. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. And there's people that I know tatted up, you know, super, like, super thug gangstified, but they Christians now. And so they going out to they homies trying to tell them the truth, like, bro, this is not where it's at. Because they're a worker who is not ashamed no more. I wasn't ashamed to gangbang. Why am I going to be ashamed to come back and witness to you, partner? Like, y'all was out there busting them things with me, but it's not y'all who saved me. It was God. Like, that's really what it is. Like, people need to learn to be truthful, rightly dividing the word of truth, instead of trying to tell people stuff that, you know, how they say, tickle your ears. We ain't got time for that. Like, in this day and age, we ain't got time for that. If you're out there and a man is coming to you and he telling you this, that, and the third, he telling you that he loved the Lord, watch his actions to see if he really loved the Lord, or is he just trying to smash? You know, because if he began to talk to you more about sex than more about God, then you know what's really on his mind. And then that's when your discernment kick in, like, bro, you ain't even really about what you're talking about. You're not really out here lifting up the name of the Lord and not being ashamed. You're not really out here dividing the word of truth. You're not really out here trying to be approved by God. Keep it moving. Fellas, some women may say you sound corny, but you can say the same thing. If shorty just trying to lift her skirt, look at my real stuff really coming out. But for real, shorty just trying to lift her skirt up for you, you know what I'm saying, because she wants you to tag some. But you know you trying to get approved by God. You know you want to be out here doing his work and live by Romans 1:16, not being ashamed of the gospel. You know, really doing God's work, really rightly dividing the truth. And she's saying, oh, babe, that sounds good. oh, babe, you did good with that sermon. You did good with that speech. You know, but when you get home, she not trying to pour into you, praying for you, asking God to rebuild your strength. She trying to drain you. Sex drains you. And that's what she trying to do. She wants you to come please her flesh, you know what I'm saying, drawing from you, and then have you off somewhere else. Single people, please be careful, because I wish a lot of this that I'm telling y'all, I thank God for putting it in my spirit to come through y'all, because this is all just him speaking to y'all. But I didn't have nobody telling me these things. I didn't. And last but not least, man, it's crazy. Last but not least, number 9, enjoy your singleness. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Everybody not going to get married. Even Paul said it, like, I wish y'all were single like me so y'all can continue to do what it is that God have you for to do. But if you can't control yourself, if you having them burnings and them desires, and pay attention to now that if God is calling you to marriage, because marriage is not easy. Women think, oh, I'm going to get married and I found a hard-working husband. He said he's going to take care of me. Yeah, but when he's taking care of you, but he working 10 and 12 hours and you at home because you're not working and you feeling lonely. Oh, you don't even care about me. All you want to do is work and sleep. Well, you knew this is what he was about. You knew this is how he rolled when you got with him. You can't try to change that man now. If he was that person when you met him and when you married him, why are you expecting him to change? Because he have a wife? No, that's more of a reason to go to work. So like Philippians says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. However you make your bed, you make your bed, you got to lie in it. You got to be content with the decisions that you make. You got to be content with the relationships that you're in. You got to be content with your life. But you don't have to say, if it's not good, you don't have to be content with that. Of course, God wants the best for you. But everything that you want may not come to pass, so you have to be content. But enjoy your singleness. Enjoy your marriage if you're married, but enjoy your singleness. Learn what it is about you, and this goes back to individual growth and development. Learn what it is about you that makes you happy. What is it that you really love? You know, have you worked on yourself? Are you content with who you are? Some people are bums for real, and crazy enough, they content with that. And they just trying to find somebody else or find somebody who's willing to accept them in that state. So, yes, this was preparing yourself for a godly mate, aka singleness. Number 1, daily commune with God and seek his desire for your life. Number 2, develop your God-given talent. Number 3, serve God with gladness. Do whatever your hands find to do. Number 4, and don't pollute your vessel. Number 5, wait on God for Boaz. Don't settle for Bozo. Number 6, manage your money well. Don't bring a load of bills to the marriage table. Number 7, watch your mouth. Speak life over your situation. Number 8, study God's word and live by it. Number 9, enjoy your singleness. So, I just want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of Unmute. I hope that it bless you. If you know somebody that's single, please pass it along. If you're a single, I hope that it bless you. And I hope that you will connect with people. I want to see people doing things. I want people to download the Anchor app and send me voice messages. Let me know. Like, let me know what you guys think about this thing. You know, email me, unmute.pod@gmail.com. Let me know what's going on. Let me know how y'all feel. If this is, you know, really good, if it's helping y'all, or if it's speaking to you for somebody else, because you know people and you're passing it along, you're helping, it's helping you build things to help develop other young individuals or older individuals, whatever your preference is, you know, for the people that you're trying to help. Please let me know if we're over here doing a good job in covering these things with you all. I love you. God bless, and we'll talk with you later.